The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Weekend Edition. I'm your host, Stephen Flurry, and we give you an hour-long show every weekday, and now on Sundays, too. But if you want even more than this program, then visit thetrumpet.com website. That's our website based in the heart of Oklahoma, right in the Midwest of the United States. We have a team of writers posting news updates every day. We have commentary. We have video. We have my father's Key of David program, radio shows like this one, podcasts. We've got newsletters that go out. We've got what we call a trumpet brief, a daily email blast. You can get even more emails than just one per day now. We added that just recently. We've got a print magazine. The Trumpet magazine, you can subscribe to that, and there's no obligation or cost. Just call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024, and become a Trumpet subscriber today. So it's a lot of literature, a very full website, and everything on it is offered completely free of charge, without cost or obligation. So if you haven't already, make thetrumpet.com your homepage on the internet. And if you'd like to listen to more of this kind of commentary and to receive God's perspective on the news, everyday events, and they are fast-paced events for sure, then go to our website to receive the live broadcast every day out west. It's at 9 a.m. each weekday morning here in Oklahoma. It's at 11 a.m. live. You can get to the live stream by just going to thetrumpet.com/live. And, of course, that plays live during the week at noon on the East Coast as well. We also broadcast over CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that network. And that takes the program into 11 million homes across the United States. So we're very happy that you joined our audience for today's show. I've been talking through the week mainly, not so much on the weekend edition, about our stage production, Celtic Throne. It's currently touring throughout the Southeast. It was in Alabama a few days ago. Tomorrow night, it'll be in Nashville, Tennessee. I think there's 600-700 people already that are going to be turning out for that incredible production. And if you don't know anything about Celtic Throne, there is a live broadcast coming up of the show on July the 11th. If you live too far away from some of the upcoming performances, we've got one in Nashville tomorrow night. As I said, we've got one coming up in Memphis on June 24th, Little Rock, Arkansas on June 28th. And then July 1st, it'll be in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And then, as I say, the live stream event, that's on July the 11th, and that'll be broadcast out of our headquarters campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. I thought I'd just play, to begin with, before we get into the news rundown from the week that was, I thought I'd play a two-minute montage here of feedback. This is coming from audience members that viewed the Celtic Throne performance a week ago in Amarillo, Texas.
I enjoy the Irish dance and see, I'm half Irish, so yep. This is good for me to see that stuff.
Absolutely outstanding so far.
What's been your favorite part?
The precision.
Yep.
I like the singing. And the head gentleman that's dancing is unbelievable. All in all, it's fantastic. I even love the scenery that's behind the stage, looking at the mountains and that type of thing. It gives a nice perspective of Ireland and what's going on and all that kind of good stuff. Yeah. So, all in all, unbelievable.
I love it.
What's been your favorite part so far?
All of it.
Oh, okay. We went to Edmond for the debut last year. It was incredible then, and it's incredible now.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It was awesome.
Spectacular.
Start to finish, it was awesome.
It was amazing and very moving and beautifully done, exciting. I think my favorite part is just how they all move together and can be doing the same thing. So many people at the same time.
It was really, really beautiful. Just amazing.
It was a great show. It was wonderful. The kids were wonderful. The little ones were the best.
It was absolutely wonderful.
Good.
It was excellent.
What was your favorite part?
Oh, gosh. Well, the patriotic songs.
Yeah, I love that.
It was wonderful, and the costumes and the dance, all of it, the music, the singing, it was just great. Very inspiring.
I thought it was just awesome. Just great. I just can't believe it. These guys were younger than I thought. Just looking at them from the audience, I thought, oh, yeah, they're older, except for the little kids. They're all so professional, just so...
precise.
Precise. Yeah, that's a good word. They were just so synchronized together. Just a beautiful performance.
It's magnificent. The kids are just awesome.
These young people performing Irish dance at such an accomplished level.
Yeah.
And so much energy, and it's so good.
We loved it.
Loved it.
It was phenomenal. And a great, great energy, enthusiasm.
Well, we've seen Riverdance. These kids are amazing.
Is it better than Riverdance?
It would say it's just as good. I mean, for their age.
This is surprisingly great. I love it. I want to see it again. I'm going to Tulsa to see it again. Start all over with it.
And that has been, generally speaking, that's the reaction that most people have coming away from Celtic Throne. If you'd like to, if you're anywhere near Nashville, Tennessee, tomorrow night, go to CelticThrone.com. And get your tickets for the world famous Ryman Auditorium, by the way. All of those years and years of connections to the Grand Ole Opry. It'll be playing at the Ryman Theater tomorrow night. That's June 21st. And you can get tickets at CelticThrone.com. If you're far, far away from Tennessee or from Arkansas, Oklahoma, where the show will be performing for the next couple, 3 weeks, then you might consider the live stream event on July 11th of this summer as well. So you can learn about all of that at our website, CelticThrone.com. Well, we're 1 week closer, to the return of Christ, and what a week it was. So much is happening, and it's happening so fast, it just makes your head spin. All of these events, so significant, the attack on our nations, America Under Attack. My father wrote that booklet back in 2012 and 13, I believe. And then he wrote Great Again, which is almost like a follow-up to that first booklet, America Under Attack. You can get to both of those booklets at our website, thetrumpet.com, or call our operators, as I said earlier. But this nation is coming under attack from every direction. Last week, you had the fake president out there. He said this is one of his proudest moments, the fact that he could make a federal holiday out of Juneteenth. This is what Joe Biden had to say. I believe this was last Thursday, clip one.
I'm shortly, going to sign in the law, making it a federal holiday. And I have to say to you, I've only been president for several months, but I think this will go down for me. One of the greatest honors I will have had as president, not because I did it, you did it.
One of his greatest honors, he said. And the only reason Juneteenth became a thing was because of your propaganda media from last summer. If you remember, some of you will, President Trump, he scheduled that rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma on June 19th. And then they're always searching for something to throw at the bad orange man. So then when they found out that he was doing it on the date of this event, and it goes back to an event from 1865 when the Union troops went into Galveston and said to these slaves that, look, the emancipation happened a couple years ago. The war is over and you're free. You're free. So this is meant to represent the end of slavery. And very few people even knew it was a thing until last summer. Consider these headlines. Vanity Fair, it said, Trump's Juneteenth Tulsa rally is the world's least subtle dog whistle. What, Donald Trump's a racist? He's scheduling this rally on Juneteenth, which I guess they were implying that it was like a sacred day for African Americans. And he scheduled the rally then because he wanted all of his white supremacists to come out, you see. That was Vanity Fair. CNN said Trump's decision to hold a Tulsa rally on Juneteenth is no coincidence. Oh, there's never a coincidence with Donald Trump. He's got to send a message to all of the white supremacists. Come out and join me. The Hill said Trump's Tulsa decision sparks new race controversy. The Independent in the UK. Trump's next rally in a city that saw a notorious race massacre on date celebrating the end of slavery. So you've heard a lot here recently also about the Tulsa massacre. But here he schedules this rally last summer. A lot of Americans were left wondering, what is Juneteenth? Never heard of it. In fact, Joe Biden didn't know what it was. This is something he said just a year ago, just 1 year. This is clip two.
He's going down to Texas on Juneteenth, right? The first major massacre, literally speaking, of the Black Wall Street, right? Years ago.
He got the state wrong, for one, going down to Texas. It was actually Oklahoma. And then he gets Juneteenth, the Union soldiers sending the message to those slaves in 1865 in Galveston. He gets that confused with the Tulsa Massacre. That's 12 months ago. And last week, this fake president gets up and says, this is my greatest honor. This is probably the greatest honor of my entire fake presidency. However long that lasts. It's all part of the attack. This is shoving critical race theory down our throats. This is not meant to heal wounds. This is meant to divide along racial lines. This is critical race theory. This is Marxism, pure and simple. They've just taken class and turned it into race, and there you have it. Communist infiltration, said Herbert Armstrong, years and years and years ago. He didn't even know what it was a year ago. And now this is what they're celebrating. And as it happens, it comes just a couple weeks before the July 4th holiday. You really feel like they're going to use Juneteenth as an opportunity to bring Americans together? Not at all. They're going to use it to divide and conquer. It's an attack from within. And it's leading to civil war. Look at how divided the United States is. Listen to this commentator. I wouldn't have played it otherwise, but she works at Yale. She's teaching our children. Listen to this woman as she responds to a question coming at her from an African-American interviewer. This is clip three.
There are no good apples out there. White people make my blood boil. When you say there are no good apples out there, what kind of claim are you making? Would it be fair to say, based on your expertise, that white people are psychopathic?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think that there's many lies that, and I didn't get to that part because what I've delivered was only part of a first series of talks. But the level of lying that white people do that has started since colonialism, we're just used to it.
It's just everywhere. Yeah. They're all psychopathic. Every single white person. That's critical race theory, that whites are racist inherently. They're just born that way. And never mind, by the way, that the Union soldiers that went down there to communicate that message, you're free, they were white people. Never mind the 700,000 Americans that were sacrificed so that we could eradicate slavery from this nation. Here come the hard left, the radical Marxist revolutionaries, doing anything and everything that they can to divide, to talk about the line, the through line that comes right through to today. You go back and listen to Joe Biden's speech in Tulsa from a couple weeks ago, and there he was calling for a day of reckoning. This is not leadership that wants to heal And furthermore, what other nation does this? It's not like slavery was unique to the United States. This was worldwide, the institution of slavery. How many nations that engaged in, including nations in Africa, in South America, in Europe, in Asia, how many nations are just looking for any and every opportunity to cherry pick from history? Oh, here's another one of our sins. Joe Biden says this is how you know America's great, by just waving our sins before the world. And we've got to keep drawing attention to it. We've got to keep drawing attention to just how bad we were. Critical race theory. It's an attack. It's an attack. And that woman you just heard there, she teaches at Yale. She teaches at Yale. Where is this leading? It's leading to Ezekiel 4 and Ezekiel 5. So many lies. Big lies. And have you noticed quite a few of them are being exposed? This was Hillary Clinton last week. I forget which channel she was on, but she was on commenting on the 2016 election, the one that she lost. Remember that one? Here's what she had to say, clip five.
And, you know, remember, you know, Putin made it his mission to deny me the presidency in part because, you know, I did raise issues that were uncomfortable with him.
So Putin's the reason. Trump-Russia collusion. It's been thoroughly debunked multiple times over and again. Steele dossier, New York Times admitted that was a fraud, a total lie just a few weeks back. You had the Mueller investigation. You had everything. The FBI, the DOJ, they've been exposed. It's been totally weaponized to go after all things Trump. And there she is still. Still, she's talking about an election that was rigged. Vladimir Putin, don't you know? He made it his mission to deny her of the because she's tough. She stood up to Putin. Just like we were told last week that Biden, boy, I tell you, he stood up to Putin. He went into that meeting with Putin and he gave him 16 strategic targets. And said to Putin, now, please, pretty please, don't attack these targets. Yeah, that's a real show of strength. And yet there are the corrupt actors in the media, the propaganda media, telling us he's tough, when in fact, Vladimir Putin played the fake president like a fiddle, got everything that he wanted. So Hillary's there. Her commentary on all these events is that, yeah, everything was rigged in 2016. Then you talk about 2020, and it was perfect. Listen to clip six.
We never thought we had to worry about domestic enemies. We never thought we had to worry about people who didn't believe in our democracy, in our Constitution, in our separation of powers, in our institutions. And sadly, what we've seen over the last 4 years, and particularly since our election in 2020, is that we have people within our own country who are doing Putin's work.
So Putin stole it for Trump in 2016. Then if you cast doubt on the 2020 election, then you're doing Putin's work. So everything in 2020 was perfect, even though all of this evidence just is pouring in of fraud. They're pushing toward the end of the audit in Arizona, by the way. There was a story I read on Friday's program about 7,000 affidavits being presented to lawmakers in Michigan. People are calling for a forensic audit there, like Arizona style. Same with Wisconsin. And then you look at John Solomon's reporting from last week about the election in Georgia that, here again, we were told in November, in December, in January, it was all perfect. John Solomon says documents that Georgia's largest county submitted to state officials as part of a post-election audit highlight significant irregularities in the Atlanta area during last November's voting, ranging from, listen to this, identical vote tallies repeated multiple times to large batches of absentee ballots that appear to be missing from the official ballot scanning records. He says further on, the county, by the way, Fulton County, predominantly Democrat, largest population in the state, and all of the, and this history of corruption, by the way. It says here, the memos received by Just the News include the handwritten tally sheets for all absentee ballots counted by the county, as well as a private report from a contractor hired by Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger to monitor the Atlanta area election process. It says the report, which chronicled 7 days of problems, recorded troubling behavior like the mysterious removal of a suitcase of sensitive election data known as poll pads used to authenticate voters. So I went through this on my program last Thursday. Here again, if you want to get to more content like this, watch our weekday show out west. It's at 9 a.m. live. You can go to our website, thetrumpet.com/live, and listen in. But as I went through on Thursday's program, you have this report. This contractor was hired by Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, and he was there monitoring the election the day before, November 2nd, then November 3rd, and then all through the week before the media, the propaganda media, anointed Joe Biden as king, basically, as the fake president on Saturday, November 7th. So this report has all of these timestamps, minute by minute by minute. And this guy saying, yeah, I noticed this, and this chain of custody problems over here. And one of these poll observers says, I'm really going to go in there and mess things up. And then all of the ballots that were in boxes that were supposed to be in sealed containers. Just all kinds of activities that should have been investigated. In any event, he was blowing the whistle. And the thing that's amazing about this report, this 25-page report from this contractor, is Raffensperger commissioned it. And then the guy gives him all these problems, line by line, timestamp by timestamp, and Raffensperger presumably gets the report. He's the one that ordered it to be done. He knows about the problems. And then he goes before he rushes to get everything certified, and then he goes before the cameras to tell you that the election was just perfect. It was perfect. This is Raffensperger on 60 Minutes, January the 10th, clip 7.
What can you tell on national television on 60 Minutes right now? What can you tell the American people about the integrity of the 2020 presidential election in the state of Georgia?
We had safe, secure, honest elections, and the results are disappointing if you are a Republican, but those are the results.
Safe, secure, and honest. That's what he said on January the 10th. And you know what he's quoted as saying in the article by John Solomon last week, who made all of these bombshell revelations that there was all this nefarious activity going on through the first week of November in Fulton County? He's quoted in this article as saying, this is Raffensperger. He says, I have continued to call on the elections director to be removed from his position, and the leadership of Fulton County has continued to fail to act. So Raffensperger now, you see, he wants it both ways. Well, there was all this corruption in Fulton County. And I know, that's why I've called on these election officials to be removed. There's so much trouble. There was so much corruption. It says here, the secretary said he stands by his private monitor's assessment that fraud did not occur at a scale in Fulton County to impact the election's outcome, but he added the county's election management failures nonetheless warrant dramatic repair. Now, it wasn't so much corruption that it could have overturned the election. Forget about that. Okay, everything was still, it was still pretty much perfect, almost perfect. But it needs dramatic repair, that's for sure. He wants it both ways, you see. He wants to tell you that overseeing it all, he did a perfect job, and there certainly wasn't widespread or rampant corruption. This is the most populated county in Georgia. And we're talking about tens of thousands of questionable ballots, fake ballots, ballots from dead people, ballots from people out of state, ballots that were put through the machines more than once. It's all coming out. It's all being exposed. The big lie, they say the big lie is that the election was stolen. The big lie is that it was perfect. It wasn't perfect. There were problems all over the place. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Weekend Edition. Send us an email, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
If you empower the government to violate civil liberties in pursuit of a foreign terror organization, and there are foreign terror organizations, it's just a matter of time before ambitious politicians use those same mechanisms to suppress political dissent. And that's what we're seeing now. We should have seen it earlier. Trevor Aronson wrote a book on this called The Terror Factory, and it analyzed every terror prosecution from 2001 to 2013. Aronson found that at least 50 defendants were on trial because of behavior that the FBI had not only encouraged but enabled. FBI agents were essentially the plotters in these crimes. They made the crimes crimes.
That's from Tucker Carlson's show last week. I think it was maybe Tuesday night, a few days ago, as he interviewed Darren Beatty, who wrote this piece at Revolver. Unindicted co-conspirators in January 6 cases raised disturbing questions of federal foreknowledge. And so here we have another narrative, false narrative, collapsing before our eyes, that the government, as Tucker brought out, the federal government, they actually had a hand in orchestrating the so-called insurrection of January 6th, the Capitol siege. And even videos starting to be uncovered where you see these corrupt agents in there trying to incite the crowd to act violently, trying to incite criminal behavior. In Beatty's Revolver article, he goes back to the plot to kidnap the Michigan governor, Governor Whitmer, and how that there were at least five federal agents involved in that plot. And the FBI, as Tucker brings out and as Revolver brings out and as others have since brought out, there's a long history there in these agencies of infiltrating these groups they see as hate groups, and inciting violence so that they can then use it as a pretext to put them in jail. And a lot of people, hundreds of people, still in jail for January 6th. Anyone for insurrection? Sedition? No, of course not, because that's not what it was. There's people in jail still waiting for their day in court because they trespassed or because of disorderly conduct. But how many? You're starting now, at least Beatty's done this. He's sifting through all of these documents, all of these indictments, all of these papers that have been served, and reading about all of these co-conspirators who haven't been indicted, who haven't been arrested. And some of them they got away with criminality that's far worse than trespassing. Why is that? Beatty had this to say in his article. Indeed, the curious lack of indictments filed against the entire gamut of persons referenced as playing leadership roles within the Oath Keepers on January 6th raises the red flags. He says this includes person 2, person 3, person 10, person 14, 15, 16, 19, and 20, along with many co-conspirators listed only as an individual. So there's a lot of people that were part of the so-called Capitol siege that got off scot-free. Why? Why? I mean, when you're going, if you remember what that lead prosecutor said on 60 Minutes, this was back a couple, 3 months ago, where he was talking about January 6th and how that, well, the fake inauguration was coming up on January 20th, so we had to really send a message to make sure that the inauguration would be peaceful. This is what that lead prosecutor said on 60 Minutes, clip 9.
After the 6th, we had an inauguration on the 20th. So I wanted to ensure, and our office wanted to ensure, that there was shock and awe, that we could charge as many people as possible before the 20th. And it worked, because we saw through media posts that people were afraid to come back to D.C. because they're like, if we go there, we're going to get charged.
Shock and awe, he says, proudly. Yeah, we got to really go after these people. And that started a nationwide hunt for anyone and everyone that was associated with that Capitol Hill siege. That might have come from out of state, showed up for the Trump rally, walked down the street, and then waltzed into the Capitol as law enforcement opened the door and waved them in. We now know Senator Ron Johnson has exposed this. What was going on? If they knew there was all this chatter on social media, then why wasn't it more secure? Then why didn't the police keep the Capitol? That's got to be one of the most secure buildings in the entire world, okay? And doors, double doors, triple doors, just left wide open and unlocked? I don't think so. So you have locals there, local law enforcement, and then as the revolver piece exposes, you've got FBI agents infiltrating the crowd. We've heard about the Antifa operatives that were also there. Beatty exposes the FBI guys. Person 2, for example, he was with the Oath Keeper, Thomas Caldwell. He's in jail right now, Caldwell. But not Person 2. He stayed with Caldwell in the same hotel room. He texted about the plan. Person 2 was routinely provoking the Oath Keepers to storm the Capitol. So if he was one of the insurrectionists, if he was out there yelling, "Let's storm the Capitol," why isn't he in jail? I mean, this was a siege, right? This was an armed insurrection. He wasn't arrested. He wasn't indicted. Because obviously he works for the FBI, or he's an informant of some kind, whatever it might be. Person 3 helped pay for the hotel rooms. Person 3 I'm just trying to find the text that he sent. Well, in any event, he says, Person 2 tweeted or texted about Person 3. He'll have the goodies in case things go bad and we need to get heavy. That sounds threatening. Person 2 and 3, though, they're just fine. Is Thomas Caldwell, the Trump supporter, he's the one that needs to rot in jail. Grandmama, who went in there and took a selfie, she needs to sit in jail. Beatty says in his article, UCC1, as well as the unidentified co-conspirator, as well as two additional unindicted co-conspirators referred to only as Person 1 and Person 2 in the Proud Boys indictment, were all in Proud Boys' upper-tier leadership and appear to have been the most prolific planners and incendiary advocates of insurrection in the run-up to and on the day of January 6. And yet, neither of them charged. That's very strange. Listen again to Tucker Carlson from last week, clip 10.
So FBI operatives were organizing the attack on the Capitol on January 6th, according to government documents. And those two are not alone. In all, Revolver News reported that there are, quote, upwards of 20 unindicted co-conspirators in the Oath Keeper indictments, all playing various roles in the conspiracy, who have not been charged for virtually the exact same activities, and in some cases, much, much more severe activities, as those named alongside them in the indictments.
Look at all these false narratives that are just collapsing over the last year, year and a half. The Wuhan lab. You are a dangerous, not just a conspiracy theorist, a dangerous one. If you believed that the China virus came out of that lab, that bioweapons lab, and Fauci and all of his friends, they came out of the starting gates back in January and February, March, and said, no, it didn't come from the lab. It came from nature. It came from bats. And now we know it came right out of that lab. And we know China weaponized it. We know because of what China allowed in the way of travel and what it didn't allow. And we know the radical left weaponized it with those tens of millions of mail-in ballots. That's what allowed them to stuff the ballot boxes with fake ballots. So many lies. They pulled off the election steal. And then here we see the political weaponization of our national security apparatus. Just like they used those agencies to attack Donald Trump during the Trump years. They used it to incite a riot on January 6th. A riot that was nowhere near as riotous and violent as any of them last summer. But leave that aside. Here are these FBI agents. Is America under attack? These agencies so thoroughly, of course, there's a good FBI agent here and there, but the top, the sickness. Isaiah 1 says it's from head to toe. My father says this in his article from April this year. He says, Satan has the power to conduct great evil and not only hide it, but then accuse others of committing it. Think about that, those sound bites from Hillary Clinton. 2016, stolen, Putin did it, Trump was a Russian stooge, an agent of Russia, okay? 2020, oh, that was perfect. If you question it, you're doing Putin's bidding. Even as the evidence comes, 7,000 affidavits, really? Those are sworn statements. People in Michigan saying there was cheating. I saw it. What are they going to find out in the Arizona audit? What has John Solomon already turned up from Georgia? Raffensperger knew Fulton County cheated. And then he went on TV, national TV, and lied about it. He said it was totally secure. It was honest. It was fair. It was perfect. My father says, we saw this with Obama's use of the deep state in general and the Mueller investigation specifically. It's an example of the depths of Satan that Jesus Christ warned his church about in Revelation 2. It says, you can prove the real purpose of the Mueller investigation, but Satan knows that if he makes it complicated enough to require deep study in order to understand it, most people won't do that, and he can deceive them. See, I don't want to go back and, you know, here or look at all those statements from Fauci and Peter Daszak and all these others that lied. Oh, the experts lie. That's true. The experts lied. And there was an article in NBC. This is the left-wing NBC. Last week, they quote from some science expert who said, well, yeah, we didn't really pursue the lab leak theory last year because Trump was in there, you see. So they said it came from nature. And then Trump, as soon as he leaves the White House, well, hang on a second. We actually, it did come from the lab leak. Now they say. They quote from some expert, some scientist. Again, she works at, I'm sure it's an Ivy League school. All of her friends in the scientific community. Now they come out and tell the truth. What hasn't been politicized? Truly, what has not been politicized? You hear about science. Science, science, science. And here are scientists now bragging that, yeah, we lied, but here's why. It was the bad orange man. Do you need some hopeful, encouraging news in the midst of all this? Well, that hope is in the true gospel of Jesus Christ, the message that he brought to this earth about the soon coming kingdom of God, about the kingdom of God to be set up and established on this earth, Jesus Christ ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I gave a few studies last week on the weekday program about growth and how that we, spiritually speaking, we have to keep growing or else we're going to die spiritually. We've got to keep going forward. And God gives us his truth. He reveals his law to us so that we can peer into it. It's called the perfect law of liberty in the book of James. And like James 1 brings out, we can look at God's law and we can see what it is we need to clean up in our lives, what it is that we need to change, what we need to overcome. You can study into the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And of course, you have all the thou shalt nots. But God doesn't say don't do this because he's trying to deprive us of anything good. He's trying to help us. He's trying to protect us. He's trying to protect us from agony and suffering. The boomerang effect that always comes as a result of sin. And so he says, thou shalt not. Don't do this to yourselves. Don't do this to others. But you know, within those perfect, holy, just, and righteous laws, there's also an implied positive admonition. And you see that throughout God's law. Don't do this, 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 and this. But do this. Be you doers of the word of God. Be you doers of the law. Just to use one example from the Ten Commandments, you've got remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I mean, there's a godly standard that we've got to maintain and uphold. Keep it holy. Don't do any work. You, your spouse, your manservant, maid, all of them. Rest from your labors. But did you know that within that same command it says, 6 days shall you labor. So yeah, work. Be productive and fruitful with your life, physically and spiritually. That's a wonderful, positive admonition. Even going back to the Garden of Eden, God said to Adam and Eve, now don't take from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but do take from the tree of life. Consume the fruit growing on the tree of life. And what did they do? Well, they fell for the lie, the big lie. Satan's the father of lies. That's John 8 and verse 44. Satan's the reason we see so many false narratives and outright lies, even coming from the most educated among us, the scientific community, the experts. Satan's the father of lies, and he lied to Adam and Eve, and they disobeyed God, they rejected God's government, and they took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and to them, it seemed like the right thing to do. Oh, it looks good. It tastes good. And yet, look at the world we're now in, 6,000 years on. God, as you see at the end of Genesis 3, he cut man off from the tree of life, and we were left to go it alone, to build up our own universities, our own systems of religion and business and commerce and government. There's all kinds of different governments and theories about economy and well, there's something for everyone. And step back for a moment and look at the world at large. Look at what we're doing to ourselves. Look at what we've done just in the last year and a half. You have the Prime Minister in the UK announcing last week that, yeah, well, the lockdowns are just going to continue for a few more weeks. Day 450, said the Daily Mail. And then Boris Johnson saying, we might have to extend it even more because the variants. And then all of these disturbing reports about the reaction, the side effects of the vaccine that's supposed to protect you, that's supposed to prevent you from dying, And yet people have died because of the vaccine. As many as 6,000 in the United States. That's the reported number of cases. And over 10,000 in Europe. I mean, that seems like a big deal, does it not? This is science, medicine, government, politics. These institutions that so many people revere and in some ways even worship. They won't look to God. They're not about to worship God. But they'll certainly look to a scientist. They'll even worship a scientist. The message that Jesus brought to this earth is that this world, this present evil world, as Paul wrote, is about to end and be replaced by the kingdom of God, the establishment of God's kingdom on this earth. And I want you to think in these last few minutes here about you in relation. Think about yourself in relation to this purpose, God establishing his kingdom on earth. Hebrews 1 and verse 1, I'll read these two verses from Moffat. It says, "Many were the forms and fashions in which God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, but in these days, at the end, he has spoken to us by his Son, a Son whom he has appointed heir of the universe, as it was by him that he created the world." He's appointed Jesus Christ the heir of the universe. Wow, verse 3, it says, "He," speaking of Christ, "reflecting God's bright glory and stamped with God's own character, sustains the universe with his word of power. When he had secured our purification from sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." So he made the ultimate sacrifice, the lamb sacrifice, slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13, verse 8, I believe. But then he was resurrected from the dead 3 days later, three nights later, and he's at the right hand of God, verse 3 says. Verse 4 continues, "being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." So much better than the angels? Well, he's God's son. Of course he's on a plane higher than the angels. That's what it says there about God and his son, Jesus Christ. Now, look at chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "But one in a certain place testified, saying, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him?'" So you have God, you have Jesus Christ on a plane even far higher than the angels. So, I mean, and then the angels compared to man, what are we? We're just flesh and blood. We have a short, temporary, physiochemical existence, and then that's it. What is the purpose? Why are we here? Verse 7 says, "You made him," let me read verse 7 in Moffat, "for a little while you have put him," speaking of man, "lower than the angels, crowning him with glory and honor, putting all things under his feet." Can this really be the truth? Can this really be the true gospel? For a little while, it says, we're lower than the angels, but it's not going to be that way for much longer. "Crowning him with glory and honor, putting all things under his feet." Verse 8 continues the thought, "You have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." I mean, we're about to be given jurisdiction over the whole universe. Nothing, it says there. Nothing that is not put under him. Chapter 1, again, we saw where Christ is the heir of the universe. So how do we fit into this? This plan, this purpose, this awesome future, this incredible human potential? Well, there's a time order to this purpose and plan being worked out here below. God has, it's Satan's world, clearly, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. The whole world is deceived, Revelation 12, 9. But God has reserved the right to call a few out of this evil world, Galatians 1, 4. so that they might be trained and taught how to be the bride of Christ, how to be a teacher in the wonderful world of tomorrow, and so that they might support God's work in this present evil world. And then at the establishment of God's kingdom on this earth, then it opens up to everyone, ultimately to everyone who's ever lived. If you understand the truth about the first and second resurrection, I'll have to leave that for another study. But here we are, some of us, called out of this world, not because God's playing favorites, but because Jesus Christ needs a righteous wife to assist him in this purpose and plan. Verse 8 says, ultimately, we're going to be given jurisdiction over the whole universe. We don't have that now, but what do we see? Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower, or for a little while lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. It had to happen. He had to make that lamb sacrifice. Crowned, though, with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And then verse 10 continues with that thought, that we might be perfect in following those steps, in following after that example. What a hope-filled vision this is, and it's all that I have time to get into. I could say a lot more, but we're just about out of time. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Weekend Edition. Send us an email, td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.
The Trumpet Daily.